Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Man Up.
It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky.
Welcome back to Man Up with Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. Ted's down in Mexico hunting turkeys, and as you can imagine, you know, that's a manly type of thing to do, yep. Even though that in our Jake's program, and when we take out all these youngsters, boys and girls, the only one that's had 100% success rate over the years that we've been doing this
is you?
No. A lady.
Oh.
You know what? I want her to take me out, honey. So, you know, that type of thing. Welcome back to the show. Doug McConnell's here with me, 101st Airborne kind of guy, also a doctor. And, right before we left, we talked a little bit about, you know, we've been talking about the Ukraine because, I mean, this is, could have such a severe impact on everything in the world. We get 7% of our oil imports comes from Russia.
Correct.
And so they are the fourth largest supplier of us. You know, of course, the Canada is the top supplier. Mexico was second. And Russia has 595,000 barrels per day. Saudi Arabia, believe it or not, was the fourth largest, less than Russia. So they supplied 7% of U.S. crude oil imports in late 2021, a significant number. That's going to... Everything that everybody's talking about, the upward pressure on global oil prices, is going to be astronomical. Now, the Ukraine is not a big oil and gas producer, but they are an important transit location for oil and gas. So
that's correct, and because the Ukraine has been a sort of a flatland thoroughfare from east and west travel for a long time. And I think a lot of the lines, I think the Nordis pipeline we've heard is designed to get around the Ukraine up in the ocean, up in the north.
But, well, you know, the thing, this Nordic pipeline is now stopped. And what I hope is, you know, President Biden pulled back from the U.S. opposing this.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why it was opposed before. It's to keep, you know, the pressure on Russia, and it would also, you know, that's hundreds of billions of dollars, and they open that up, that's going into Europe, especially Germany. Do you think it's ever going to come back, that pipeline, after this?
Well, I like it. If you're countries can be like addicts, and they're dependent on their supplier for fuel and oil. I mean, you have to have energy to survive as an economy. And I think the idea of becoming totally dependent on Russian oil, particularly when the government structured it is a bad idea for all of But Germany, you got to realize, they destroyed their own nuclear power industry over the last decade at the altar of Green New Deal. So they destroyed clean power, or at least... clean, and you got the issue with nuclear waste. But be that as it may, they went down the road, and they had to substitute more imported gas for heating to replace, I think, almost all of their nuclear power in their grid. So they boxed themselves in, whereas France, to my knowledge, still runs a large proportion of nuclear reactors and does well. But the more dependent you are on Russia for anything, the more they control you.
Well, you know, Russia's the top natural gas supplier to Europe.
Absolutely.
And Europe could halt or limit its natural gas supply to apply pressure. But Russia could do that first. To put pressure on them. Hey, we're just cutting it off. Stay away from here. Let me have the Ukraine.
And it's
part of Russia. It's ours. You know, it should have never been a breakaway. You know, blah, 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 blah.
So cities like Berlin, Hamburg, all depend on warming houses. And I'm guessing if they don't have an electric grid that's supplied, they have to basically have generator plants that run off of...
Well, maybe this will be the impetus when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
To take a real good look at nuclear energy.
Uh-huh.
Nuclear energy has been a bugaboo here in the United States.
For political reasons?
For political reasons only.
Correct.
The French were using it, and it's like 97% reusable. Yeah, there's some, you know, there's some you can't. So you figure out what to do with, you know, that, you know, those rods or that residue.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does do, it gives us 24 hours a day. It's not petroleum. And if you look at, I'd look at it at Navy ships and Navy submarines. How long have they had this? 50 years
mm-hmm.
at least?
Well, it dates from 1954 with the Nautilus.
Yeah, so.
And then they also built a cargo ship called the Savannah.
Right. Well, think about this. A nuclear submarine where people are underwater for 6 months at a time in a nuclear, where there's a nuclear reactor, no problems.
No.
No problems.
Less than 300 feet away from you.
Something the size of this city block could provide the energy for all of Shasta County
mm-hmm.
and probably other parts. I mean, if you're just looking at putting out, you know, the amount of wattage it could put out, maybe it, you know, maybe the United States will also at the same time use this as a way to push for nuclear power to be totally independent of other countries.
So we're stuck as a people talking about 1979. When the China Syndrome movie, coupled with what went on 3 Mile Island in Pennsylvania, put the kibosh in terms of popularity. And of course, probably the oil industry wasn't unhappy about that. But I just read that the Navy is bringing nuclear carriers in to replenish their nuclear power. They only have to do it every 24 years. That's when they refuel a nuclear carrier. And it's a big overhaul.
Yeah.
But they're now building ships, the Navy is, which the ship and the nuclear reactor have the same life expectancy. So the technology, since we started with nuclear carriers to today in shipbuilding and being dependent on a reactor, has evolved enormously. So too for generating plants for electricity. France's technology dates to the 1990s, I think, or 80s. But to build nuke power, I think you're right, Carl. This is going to basically say, why aren't we doing this?
Why aren't we taking a if you want to call it a bipartisan look
mm-hmm.
you know, from the experts that say, why aren't we putting in, you know, in more nuclear power stations and plants and facilities throughout the United States?
I have the reason.
Yeah.
The regulatory hurdles and the time delays make almost every project totally unfeasible for private entities. So we have strangled our ability to build nuclear power plants because of the overlapping, and same with the waste disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as a people, need to cut through all that and recognize you have to keep safety first. But we have destroyed ourselves in regulatory swamp. And therefore, no project is ever financially feasible.
Well, John Kerry has complained that Ukraine is diverting attention from climate change. You think?
Yes.
You think, John, you ought to be getting on board with the nuclear power industry then, so you don't want to have to import oil from mm-hmm. people like Russia or Saudi Arabia. Canada's okay. Canada's our number one. But if you don't want to have to depend on those people who are obviously not our friends. Saudi Arabia is a, quote, ally in the Middle East, but, you know, the types of things that they do and believe in is not what we believe in, but they have oil. Imagine what would happen if the, you know, United States was totally independent and most of our power comes from a nuclear energy. The amount of oil we would have then
would power us forever.
Well, not that, but it would be available to export, to take over anything that Russia is sending. And it could send a message also to the Saudi Arabians.
So let me tell you about my personal interface to the oil industry. When I got off active duty in the Army in 81, moved to Long Beach, there are four oil islands sitting right off the coast of the beautiful beach and marina area of Long Beach, which have slant drilling under the city. They've been doing it since the 1970s. And those are all producing oil wells by five different companies. And there's never been a single event sitting a city of 290,000 is sitting right over the oil, and they're pumping it out to the ocean edge and up to these things. There's camouflage to look like buildings, but they're islands, and you can put your boat in the lee of the island and get put in the wind, and you can anchor there on Sunday afternoons, and they're right where people are swimming and sailing. And there's so 81 to today, you can do that. It's 41 years. There's never been a spill. There's never been an incident, and everybody in Long Beach that is under these drilling areas gets a revenue check. So it's worked perfectly with modern technology.
Do you remember when Mitt Romney was running against Barack Obama, and he said...
The town hall.
The town hall, when he said Russia is our major major threat, and he was, Mr. Obama, you know, disagreed, and people laughed. No, people laughed when he said that.
He didn't disagree. He belittled Romney for bringing that up. Yeah. It was a very caustic remark. He said, hello, this is the 19-whatever calling.
Yeah. Well, just something else that that has been included in everything that's going on. Okay. Is it time for a break, buddy? 1 minute. Okay. We've been talking about the Ukraine. Yeah. As I've told everybody, that Ted Leidy is down in Mexico on a Grand Slam turkey hunt. He'll be back next month. I've got Doug McConnell with me. And when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, another thing about Man Up. Yep. And we went back to Wisconsin for a pheasant hunt. And I want to talk a little bit about that. We'll be right back after these messages.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Dr. C.A. Dingy was a dentist who lived approximately north of Middletown at Fort Dingy, named by him. He was buried in the Middleton Cemetery in a coffin filled with salt, his Bible, and a bottle of whiskey, all at his request. Winter rains brought the salt to the surface, causing deer and cattle to dig for it. To remedy the problem, a load of bricks was placed on top of the grave to protect it. Another interesting dentist was Dr. James Winsell, who settled beside Battle Creek near today's Coleman Fish Hatchery in 1852 on what was the Rancho de Brasgau Mexican land grant. A large ditch carried water out to Battle Creek at his place and transported it to the Balls Ferry flour mill at Balls Ferry, where it was used to turn the large water wheel. The ditch still exists and is used mainly for irrigation. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. In February 1850, Shasta County was created as one of the California's original 27 counties. In September of that same year, California was admitted into the Union, meaning that Shasta County was even older than the state of California. Before Shasta County was named, Shasta residents held a town meeting in the middle of Main Street and named their town Shasta, presumably because Mount Shasta could be seen from the hills of the town. Originally, Mount Shasta was within Shasta County, but is now part of Siskiyou County. The original Shasta County included a major portion of Northern California, including Mount Shasta, and all the territory that later became Modoc, Lassen, and Siskiyou counties, as well as parts of the present-day Plumas and Tehama counties. Contributed by Dottie Smith.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The Potter's Cave is said to be among the finest in the United States. The first white man to enter the cave was J.A. Richardson in 1878. When deciding on a name for the cave, J.B. Potter was chosen, the man who became the first owner of the property in 1855. It's a limestone cave located by Shasta Caverns. Archaeologists believe to be the possible locations of fossils of early man and extinct animals. Many thousands of specimens are found there, including 52 species, of which 21 are now extinct. The species included the short-faced bear, the shrub ox, the Shasta ground sloth, horse, mammoth, bison, and a cameloid. The age of the Potter Creek Cave is supposedly not far from that of the earliest human deposits containing human remains found in Europe. It has, however, been determined that the bone implement-like pieces found in the original 1903 excavation are at least 8,000 years old, contributed by Dottie Smith.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The first reference to Shasta was made in 1814 by British explorer and fur trapper Alexander Hendry, who wrote about the Shasta tribe of Indians living on the mountain. Another version suggests that Shasta is a corruption of the Russian word Tashel, meaning white or pure mountain. Russian fur trappers were in the area from 1812 to 1842. In 1827, Hudson Bay's company brigade leader Peter Skeen Ogden wrote in his diary, "I have named this river Saskeen River. There is a mountain equal in height to Mount Hood or Vancouver. I have named it Mount Saskeen." In later years, the words Shasti, Sastis, Chasta, Chastala, Sasti, and Sasti, or several more, were used, all references to Mount Shasta. Mail to the early Shasta residents arrived addressed to Shastea, Sasti, Sasta, and Shasti. This was contributed by Dottie Smith.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for my show, North State Now, on the first Thursday of every month. We'll cover what's going on in the North State, Axiom Theater, local theater, art, food, film, and even the latest in astrology. That's North State Now on the first Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Battle Creek Bridge crosses Battle Creek on Jelly's Ferry Road. The north side of the bridge is in Shasta County and the south side is in Tehama County. It was built in 1911, is 152 feet long, and was engineered by Robert L. Reading, son of Major Reading. In 1984, a new bridge was built on its east side because it was too narrow, load-limited, and posted for less than current legal loads. The old bridge was left in place and today is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Father Rinaldi's foundation is located in Shasta and is the remains of a Catholic church that was never built. Father Rinaldi was a Catholic priest who was sent to Shasta in 1855. He had big dreams, and he was determined to build a church that would surpass any other building in the Gold Country.
Plans called for a basilica to have the walls of cut stone copied after the architecture of the great Italian Renaissance buildings. He began raising money through donations. The ground was broke for the basilica in 1856, and in 1857 the cornerstone was laid by Archbishop Joseph Alani of San Francisco. During that same year, the foundation was built. But soon after, Rinaldi was transferred to another church. The foundation is located at the corner of Crocker Alley and Red Bluff Street in Shasta. It's privately owned and is not part of the Shasta State Historic Park. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Dr. C.A. Dingy was a dentist who lived approximately north of Middletown at Fort Dingy, named by him. He was buried in the Middleton Cemetery in a coffin filled with salt, his Bible, and a bottle of whiskey, all at his request. Winter rains brought the salt to the surface, causing deer and cattle to dig for it. To remedy the problem, a load of bricks was placed on top of the grave to protect it. Another interesting dentist was Dr. James Winsell, who settled beside Battle Creek near today's Coleman Fish Hatchery in 1852 on what was the Rancho de Brasgau Mexican land grant. A large ditch carried water out to Battle Creek at his place and transported it to the Balls Ferry flour mill at Balls Ferry, where it was used to turn the large water wheel. The ditch still exists and is used mainly for irrigation. Want more Dottie? Go to the Shasta Historical Society.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
The Backo and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backo and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for my show, North State Now, on the first Thursday of every month. We'll cover what's going on in the North State, Axiom Theater, local theater, arts, food, film, and even the latest in astrology. That's North State Now on the first Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. In 1889, the Lady of Justice was placed on top of the dome of the Shasta County Courthouse. Later in 1959, the statue had lost her sword after high winds broke it from its hilt. The broken-off piece precariously perched on a platform surrounding the statue. Maintenance supervisor Lloyd Knox removed the sword so it wouldn't fall from the roof. The sword was repaired and returned later that year. By 1963, the statue was removed from the old courthouse by helicopter. It was then put in a brick monument on the courthouse lawn. Vandals started to attack the statue. Over the following years, the sword was stolen 3 times, the scales once. Someone tried to cut off the head with an axe. All the statue's fingers, except for the thumb on the left hand, were beaten away, and the back was so severely beaten it caused the pot iron she's made of to break away, creating a large hole in the center of her back. In 2008, it was removed for safekeeping and restoration to be placed in the new courthouse currently under construction. A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. In 1889, the Lady of Justice was placed on top of the dome of the Shasta County Courthouse. Later in 1959, the statue had lost her sword after high winds broke it from its hilt. The broken-off piece precariously perched on a platform surrounding the statue. Maintenance supervisor Lloyd Knox removed the sword so it wouldn't fall from the roof. The sword was repaired and returned later that year. By 1963, the statue was removed from the old courthouse by helicopter. It was then put in a brick monument on the courthouse lawn. Vandals started to attack the statue. Over the following years, the sword was stolen 3 times, the scales once. Someone tried to cut off the head with an axe. All the statue's fingers, except for the thumb on the left hand, were beaten away, and the back was so severely beaten it caused the pot iron she's made of to break away, creating a large hole in the center of her back. In 2008, it was removed for safekeeping and restoration to be placed in the new courthouse currently under construction.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. Shasta County mining can be divided into 3 distinct episodes. The gold rush erupted in 1849, it peaked in the 1850s and faded by the late 1850s. Soon thereafter, surveyors began laying out township, ranges, sections, and mining properties. Early placer mining efforts during the gold rush were gradually but not totally supplanted by later hydraulic load and dredge techniques. The second major mining type was copper mining, which became a major industry in the 1880s and replaced gold in 1896 as the number one mineral produced in Shasta County. Copper mining was a tremendous economic stimulus to Shasta County. Copper was mined until 1869, with peak production years occurring from 1897 to 1919 and during 1924-1925. The third wave of gold production peaked again from 1908 to 1915 and once more from 1936 to 1941 during the Depression, when the price of gold rose from $20 to $35 an ounce. Contributed by Dottie Smith. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Chinese men began arriving in Shasta County during the gold rush in the early 1850s, resulting in the establishment of Chinatowns in the outskirts of almost every town. Chinese were very devout in their religious beliefs. Incense was continuously burned in each house. When a house was entered, prostrations and chanting were made on the floor. A Joss House was located at the Shasta Chinatown, but was considered plain compared to the Joss House at Weaverville. A favorite Chinese rheumatism cure was sold in Chinese stores. It consisted of placing a live rattlesnake in a gallon of meat and malt whiskey for several days. When a patient drank a full shot glass, pain supposedly ceased and comfort soon followed. Want more, Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Chinese men began arriving in Shasta County during the gold rush in the early 1850s, resulting in the establishment of Chinatowns in the outskirts of almost every town. Chinese were very devout in their religious beliefs. Incense was continuously burned in each house. When a house was entered, prostrations and chanting were made on the floor. A Joss House was located at the Shasta Chinatown, but was considered plain compared to the Joss House at Weaverville. A favorite Chinese rheumatism cure was sold in Chinese stores. It consisted of placing a live rattlesnake in a gallon of meat and malt whiskey for several days. When a patient drank a full shot glass, pain supposedly ceased and comfort soon followed. Want more, Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The first reference to Shasta was made in 1814 by British explorer and fur trapper Alexander Henry, who wrote about the Shasta tribe of Indians living on the mountain. Another version suggests that Shasta is a corruption of the Russian word Tashel, meaning white or pure mountain. Russian fur trappers were in the area from 1812 to 1842. In 1827, Hudson Bay's company brigade leader Peter Skeen Ogden wrote in his diary, "I have named this river Sasteen River. There is a mountain equal in height to Mount Hood or Vancouver. I have named it Mount Sasteen." In later years, the words Shasti, Sastis, Chasta, Chastala, Sasti, and Sasti, or several more, were used, all references to Mount Shasta. Mail to the early Shasta residents arrived addressed to Shastea, Sasti, Sasta, and Shasti. This was contributed by Dottie Smith.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The Potter's Cave is said to be among the finest in the United States. The first white man to enter the cave was J.A. Richardson in 1878. When deciding on a name for the cave, J.B. Potter was chosen, the man who became the first owner of the property in 1855. It's a limestone cave located by Shasta Caverns. Archaeologists believe to be the possible locations of fossils of early man and extinct animals. Many thousands of specimens are found there, including 52 species, of which 21 are now extinct. The species included the short-faced bear, the shrub ox, the Shasta ground sloth, a horse, mammoth, bison, and a cameloid. The age of the Potter Creek Cave is supposedly not far from that of the earliest human deposits containing human remains found in Europe. It has, however, been determined that the bone implement-like pieces found in the original 1903 excavation are at least 8,000 years old. Contributed by Dottie Smith.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
A Moment in History by KCNR Radio. In February 1850, Shasta County was created as one of the California's original 27 counties. In September of that same year, California was admitted into the Union, meaning that Shasta County was even older than the state of California. Before Shasta County was named, Shasta residents held a town meeting in the middle of Main Street and named their town Shasta, presumably because Mount Shasta could be seen from the hills of the town. Originally, Mount Shasta was within Shasta County, but is now part of Siskiyou County. The original Shasta County included a major portion of Northern California, including Mount Shasta, and all the territory that later became Modoc, Lassen, and Siskiyou counties, as well as parts of the present-day Plumas and Tehama counties. Contributed by Dottie Smith. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Battle Creek Bridge crosses Battle Creek on Jelly's Ferry Road. The north side of the bridge is in Shasta County and the south side is in Tehama County. It was built in 1911, is 152 feet long, and was engineered by Robert L. Reading, son of Major Reading. In 1984, a new bridge was built on its east side because it was too narrow, load-limited, and posted for less than current legal loads. The old bridge was left in place and today is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
Ice storms in the southern U.S. that were fueled with moisture flowing from the southern tip of Baja California, does that make any sense at all? Meteorologically speaking, the answer is no. New York breaks snow weather record for latest snow in the season. They got a whopping 0.4 inch, barely enough to even see on the ground. The weathermakers have had an increasingly difficult time getting flakes to fall in the Big Apple, even with chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations. New from Reuters.com, New England prepares for, quote, wicked deep freeze as ice storm coats south. From AccuWeather, brief visit from polar vortex to bring record-challenging cold to northeast, and all this in between record flash warm-ups. From CNN, the coldest wind chills in decades will thrash New England as 8 deaths are now linked to an ice storm in the south. mind-numbing wind chills set to wallop New England. These are the kind of reports that most serve the controllers and the climate engineers that serve them. Search the Engineering Winter section on the homepage of Geoengineering Watch to learn more of what most don't want to know. With chemical ice nucleation, as the planet warms, as the flows of moisture become warmer and warmer, these endothermic reacting elements are hitting the surface before they set up and freeze, thus the rapid increase in ice storms in so many locations. Next headline, portions of New Zealand have been devastated by flooding that was, quote, the biggest climate event in the country's history, end quote. Did the Matrix media in the U.S. bother to mention this anywhere in their ongoing episodes of mass distraction and polarization theater? No. Flash droughts, flash floods, flash freezes, all hallmarks of climate intervention operations, which are making an already catastrophic climate collapse scenario even worse. More breaking headlines to come on this front. From thenationalnews.com, why it's time for the world to take geoengineering seriously. More on this report in a moment. The climate engineering blitzkrieg continues to be ramped up all over the world. Blitzkrieg definition, just to be clear, straight from the dictionary, an intense military campaign intended to bring about a swift victory. Second definition, a short period characterized by an intense effort to do something. Yes, this is certainly an effort to do something. That's anything but benevolent. Buckle up. The ride's going to be rough soon. The weathermakers are far exceeding the laws of nature, but the laws of nature are not negotiable. The reckoning is coming. On that note, about the unraveling of empire, the petrodollar is dying by the day. What's that add up to for those that are not that familiar with how the economic system really works? It means that the empire that has been the benefactor of the petrodollar, global extortion, that's all you can call it, is also dying. Does this mean other nations or power centers will rise from the ashes of the collapsing Western U.S. empire? No. This chapter of the human race is like no other. The entire ship is going down. Details on this later in the broadcast. But the bottom line is this. The controller narrative is breaking down on all fronts, which makes the controllers more desperate and dangerous than ever before. Will they play the global conflict card next as their final option? We'll soon enough find out. This is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org, GEOEngineeringWatch.org. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the end of the world as we know it broadcast, commercial-free, non-political, and covering the most dire and immediate threats we collectively face. Moving on, more puzzle pieces. Snow drought ends in New York City. The wait is over, the report states. This report is from the Gothamist.com. New York City made history Wednesday for the latest arriving snowfall of the season. The National Weather Service recorded 0.4 inches of snow in Central Park, the latest arriving snowfall since record-keeping began in 1869. Again, the weathermakers have been desperate to orchestrate a chemical ice-nucleated winter weather event for New York. They failed numerous times this season already as it becomes harder and harder to engineer winter from warm moisture flows straight out of the record warm Gulf of Mexico or the record warm Atlantic. But they finally did it, just over a third of an inch, barely enough to cover the surface, if that. And then there's so-called Winter Storm Mara, the theatrically named creation of the climate engineers that turned warmth to winter in Texas and parts of the South. A manipulated flow of far above freezing moisture all the way from the southern tip of Baja California was the source of the ice storm in the South, and almost no one questions anything. Such is life in the planetary asylum. Watching the Weather Channel climate engineering cover-up actors this week trying to explain away the winter weather warfare as just nature was truly alarming. It takes an unimaginable amount of climate engineering elements to engineer weather on such scales. The elements we know of are bad enough. Aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, surfactants, graphene, and polymer fibers. But what else might there be in this toxic brew? it's almost impossible to determine unless we know exactly what we're looking for. In the case of aluminum nanoparticles in our snow, geoengineeringwatch.org just posted a short 7-minute report titled Aluminum Snow Lab Test Confirmed. In this short 7-minute video report, a highly degreed former U.S. Forest Service biologist sounds the alarm about inconceivably high levels of aluminum in the snows of Mount Shasta in Northern California, which was once thought to be a pristine water source. No more. You can view this post on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. And about the polymer fibers, this new headline report from e360yale.edu. That's Yale University. Microplastics are filling the skies. Will they affect the climate? Question mark. It's into the headline. From the report, recent studies reveal that tiny pieces of plastic are constantly lofted into the atmosphere. These particles can travel thousands of miles and affect the formation of clouds, which means they have the potential to impact temperature, rainfall, and even climate change. The report continues, clouds form when water or ice condenses on, quote, seeds called condensation nuclei in the air. Usually tiny particles of dust, salt, sand, soot, or other material, just named what some of that other material was, didn't I, a moment ago, thrown up, the report says, by burning fossil fuels, forest fires, cooking, or volcanoes. They continue, there are plenty of these fine particles or aerosols in the skies, a lot more since the Industrial Revolution, and they affect everything from the quality of the air we breathe to the color of sunsets to the number and type of clouds in our skies. Let's stop there. Is that description a perfect match for these scenarios that are already clearly and inarguably being created by the lingering and spreading jet aircraft dispersions? Time-lapse film footage proves it, and it's not condensation, as up-close film footage proves. View the jet spraying section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org to see inarguable footage of these aircraft, geoengineering jet aircraft spraying at altitude, nozzles visible turning on and off. We have up-close photographs of the retrofit nozzles mounted on the wing pylons aimed into the exhaust jet stream to make this look like, quote, condensation, which it is not. All military tankers and all commercial aircraft are equipped with what's known as a high-bypass turbofan jet engine. It's a jet-powered fan. 90% of the air that moves through that engine is not combusted. That engine is not capable of producing a condensation trail except under rare and extreme circumstances. A short video tutorial of the high-bypass turbofan jet engine is available on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. The Yale report continues with this. To date, more than 9 billion tons of plastic has been produced, and about half of it has gone into landfills or been otherwise discarded. Some project that by 2025, 11 billion tons of plastic will have accumulated in the environment. They then say plastic has been found in soils, waters, crops, and on the ocean floor. And in recent years, several studies have suggested that microplastics, pieces less than 5 millimeters in length, and nanoplastics, smaller than approximately 1,000 nanometers, they're much smaller, by the way, were being transported long distances through the air. Let's stop there again. For the record, polymer particles, much smaller than 1,000 nanometers, are in our air column. The smaller the particle, the more harmful it is. Climate engineering patents call for such particles. It's part of the mix. The report then asks, quote, where exactly is all this plastic coming from? Question mark. They then suggest roads, agricultural dust, and oceans. On roadways, tires, and brakes hurl microplastics into the air, the report states. They continue with this. Plastic winds up in agricultural dust, and there are big globs of plastic in places like the Pacific Ocean, which degrade into microscopic pieces, which then float to the surface and are whipped up into the air by chopping waters and bursting air bubbles. Well, there you have it. Tires are hurling plastics into the atmosphere, and bursting air bubbles in the ocean are doing the same. Question, does this really add up to what we're seeing in our atmosphere? Really? Never mind that constant parade of geoengineering jets all over the world spraying what's calculated to be 50 million tons or more into our skies annually. That part of the puzzle piece is, of course, completely ignored by the whole of the so-called science community. And never mind that climate engineering patents call for polymer fibers to be used for helping to keep the nanoparticles of heavy metals that are also part of a climate engineering mix floating in the atmosphere for longer periods of time. Question, how is it possible that so many in the ranks of the human race are so disconnected from reality that they don't know and otherwise don't care about the fact that the planet's life support systems are literally unraveling by the day, with the weather warfare operations radically accelerating the process on top of countless other forms of completely destructive human activity? How many are still pretending, even now, that their lives are going to somehow, quote, go back to normal? About those that are willing to face and acknowledge shockingly obvious and verifiable truths, they're ridiculed and marginalized by the willfully ignorant. Here's one definition of, quote, conspiracy theorist. The term used to discredit someone who speaks about things you can't bear to look at, because if it were true, it would reveal a darkness in the world that you're simply not ready to accept. Yes, not willing to accept the truth, because it's just too horrible and too scary. Therefore, it just can't be so. How many belong in that category? Here's a former report headline from Gizmodo.com. Your brain won't allow you to believe the apocalypse could actually happen. From the report, many may be entertained by stories about the end of the world, but that's probably because deep down they don't believe it could ever happen. But that's not because they're realistic. It's actually a quirk of the human brain, recently explored by a group of neuroscientists, a quirk which prevents many, or even most, from adjusting their expectations about the future, even if there's good evidence that bad things are, in fact, about to happen. The report continues, researchers from Germany and the UK designed a complex psychological test to determine how people plan for negative events in the future. Optimism was related to diminished coding of undesirable information about the future in a region of the frontal cortex, the right IFG, that has been identified as being sensitive to negative estimation errors. This human propensity towards optimism is facilitated by the brain's failure to code errors in estimation when those call for pessimistic updates. This failure results in, quote, selective updating, which supports unrealistic optimism, that is, quote, resistant to change. Yes, the propensity of so many in so-called industrialized, militarized societies to harbor and nurture, quote, optimism that is resistant to change, end quote. Translation is this: trained and programmed to think happy thoughts that are not grounded with any form of verifiable reality. Again, a reminder of the hallmark of a truly healthy mind and spirit is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. Never forget that. How many are familiar with the term depressive realism? What is it? What's it mean? Past studies have concluded that those who feel justifiable angst about the realities they see and are surrounded by view the world through a clearer lens than others. And they are, according to the initial studies, generally of a higher IQ. But not surprisingly, matrix so-called science and media is now trying to dispute and debunk the original study conclusions, because the predators need to ensure that populations remain rooted in normalcy bias, Stockholm syndrome, and a general mentality that clings to the, quote, ignorance is bliss philosophy. With each passing day, it will become ever more clear where the ignorance is bliss road has led us all. So about the not-so-natural weather. According to the Weather Channel climate engineering cover-up actors, this week there was a 141-degree temperature difference in the U.S. Translation, it was in the high 80s in parts of Florida and over 50 degrees below zero in other regions of the U.S., like Wyoming. Again, this is from a Weather Channel report. Stop and think about that. Does it seem reasonable to have an over 140-degree temperature difference in the lower 48 states? As mentioned earlier, Texas and the southern U.S. ice storms got their moisture from the southwest, the southern Gulf of California, off the tip of Baja California. All of this is completely wrong. It's meteorologically absurd, and yet the climate engineering cover-up actors and the matrix-controlled institutions like the Weather Channel pretend it's just normal, just nature, when it's anything but. How hard are the chemical flash freezes on wildlife? From Insider.com. A Canadian groundhog was found dead just before he was supposed to predict if we'd get more winter. This is a parallel to Punxsutawney Phil.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
A moment in history by...